Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN2. Play us on your smart speaker. Say, play ESPN. Download the podcast. Open your window and listen. We'll yell. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Guys, we're at the Knicks game last night, really a Nets game, at Madison Square Garden. Knicks-Nets. Knicks have that big lead. Nets come back on them. But we were really talking the last couple days about how disappointing this Lakers season has been, right? And
we never talk about how good the Clippers season is, by the way. I guess that shows you in LA, like nobody. I'm like, how come we're not talking about the
last night?
How come nobody's talking about the Clippers?
By the way, it's not even
Ty Lue Love. Like, it's like every day it's the Lakers.
It's not even the LA doesn't care about the Clippers. They hate
the
Clippers.
We don't care.
No. LA hates the Clippers. They love the Lakers, and part of loving the Lakers is looking down on the Clippers.
You got to be a fraud to root for the Clippers and be in LA.
Damn. Yeah. That's a harsh word.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's true, though.
Why does it doesn't feel that way in New York if you root for Brooklyn instead of the Knicks?
Because the Knicks don't have the equity that Lakers have been great for so long.
You really are searching for something deep inside when you're rooting for the Clippers. Like, literally. Like, you really are searching. Like, you need some help.
Lakers,
before you move on, you know I've never been to a Clipper home game, at Staples Center. Never.
Thought about it.
Unless they played the Lakers and the Lakers was at home. I've never been to a Clipper home game.
That's what I was going to ask. Come on. Because you had to go on a Wednesday. Because Clippers get all the bad dates at Staples.
Home game, meaning home, when the Lakers
aren't
are home
playing
team.
Them.
Exactly.
Yeah. But you'll go to a Clippers, quote-unquote, home game if the Lakers are playing them and it happens to be the Clippers night, so they're the supposed home team.
Yes.
Yeah.
It had to be the Lakers. Other than that, not interesting.
By the way, we've been talking. There's so much to do right now. There's so many, Tiger at the Masters and the Lakers disaster and the Nets in the play-in and baseball opening day. There's so much going on. Would you have the same energy for LeBron that you had for KD if LeBron went to Golden State, because he's been talking about he'd love to play with Steph recently, and Steph ain't going anywhere. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. You can hit us up on the Twitter feed, at Key J and Max. But guys, there's just so much going on. We've been talking about the Lakers dumpster fire. Jay, you said, most disappointing, not just basketball season ever, team ever, considering there were championship aspirations, 10 out of 15 teams make the postseason, and they're not one of them, right? They didn't even make the postseason. Chris Carlin, ESPN radio host, on Greeny, show that follows us with Mike Greenberg here on ESPN Radio, I thought he made a real interesting point about something hidden in plain sight. No team more disappointing than the Lakers? Listen to Chris Carlin.
It's funny. I don't know that I'm pulling it fully up top yet, because I still think, depending on what happens with the Nets, if they were actually out in the first round, it could be even worse. That could be even worse than what has happened to the Lakers this year.
No, Chris Carlin's dead wrong. It couldn't be worse. It couldn't be worse because, first off, when KD went down, they were the best team in the East. Right? Like, their record was reflective of them being the best team in the East with James Harden, with Kyrie playing part-time. James Harden leaving with Kyrie playing part-time and Kevin Durant's injury is why they dropped out of the race. Now, they're still an assassin type of team, but losing James Harden, I think, almost, and Kyrie being part-time for most of the year gives them somewhat of a pass.
What about AD's injury? AD hadn't played most of the season.
Yeah, but you still have Russ full-time. You had LeBron and
but
Russ
their expectations
full-time.
Were higher for the Ultimately, I think the Lakers being a dumpster fire is a bigger disappointment. But the fact is the expectations for the Nets were higher because everyone could shoot and score from anywhere and because they were looked so good
with
when
James
they played
Harden.
Together.
With James Harden, they were higher.
I don't know. The Lakers were banged up. I don't know if it was higher, Max. You got to think. The Lakers put this team together to win a championship, right? And so when you look at the situation with them, you sitting there saying, first of all, it's the Lakers. So that expectation is always championship. It's always boom or bust. The Nets got a little bit of a runway because Kyrie's coming back. KD's coming back. We assume Ben Simmons is going to get healthy. And if they get bounced in the first round, they got next year. We trying to get rid of either AD. We trying to get rid of Westbrook.
But that's
and LeBron's getting a little bit older. So you think about it as a Laker fan, we don't have a runway. And this is it for us.
Can I add on to that? When you hear the names LeBron, AD, and Russ, you automatically think NBA Finals.
100%.
I think NBA Finals is there's nothing less.
But
there's 17 games below 500.
What looks sweeter?
17 games below 500.
What looks sweeter to you? If I put a picture of the Brooklyn 3 in the Lakers 3, you look at that and go, yeah, I like the Lakers 3.
No, I like a whole lot better. No, I like the Brooklyn because they could all three of those guys, when they had Harden, could score at an elite level, like all-time elite level from all three levels, right?
Yeah, score.
Like that wasn't the Lakers.
But they would score. But complete basketball.
But without Harden in the playoffs last year, no Harden when he was hurt, KD and Kyrie were waxing the eventual champion Bucks and almost beat him just with KD. So we'd already seen them achieve a certain level, although you could also argue LeBron and AD already won a chip.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. And by the way, we're talking about the big three as if they still exist. That's no longer the case. So that when Chris Carlin's saying if they lose in the first round, it's bigger than the Lakers. I'm like, but we're not talking about the same
Lakers
big three.
Didn't even
we're
make
talking
the
about
damn
Ben Simmons
playoffs.
Now. We're not even sure he's going to be able to play.
But however you slice it, here are the Brooklyn Nets. They're going to have the greatest offense in the history of American team sports, right?
It can't be the Brooklyn Nets. You know why? Because they're in the playoffs.
That's why it's implicit.
They're in the playoffs.
If you ask me what's a bigger dumpster fire, what's a bigger disaster, Lakers bigger than the Nets. I think Chris Carlin brings up an interesting point about the Nets, though. All the NBA quant stat guys that you guys make fun of, all the analytics, here on like on the .com, when the Lakers put this together, they're like, I don't think this is going to work. Like the analysis was, they're not going to be, this is not, a, like everyone, oh, they're going to go to the finals. They might be the fifth best team in the West. Now, it turns out they're the 11th best team, but still, it wasn't like, oh, this is not like when the Nets put it together.
But that's really not why they're not in the playoffs. Injuries really did get to the Lakers. Injuries got to them.
Right.
But it didn't, even when they was together, it didn't look right.
So if they would have gone, if they would have been fifth, sixth in the West, and then everyone gets hurt, that's why they missed the playoffs.
What conference is better?
East by a little.
I think East by a lot. I think the East is a deeper conference. You're talking, when you look at the East, you're looking at the Miami Heat, the Boston Celtics, Milwaukee Bucks, 76ers, the Bulls were there, the Cavs were top four in
did
East
you
for a while.
The Bulls?
I did mention my Bulls. But so, like, I look at the conference, I'm sitting there saying, wait, so if people aren't sure about the Western Conference, if I'm looking at the top three teams as the best title contenders, Golden State, Memphis, East clearly.
I take it back.
So,
East clearly.
They made the playoffs losing James Harden. They're still in the playoffs. Like, that
play
would
be insane.
Play in playoffs.
But is the East stronger because the West seemed to be broken up, meaning everybody is hurt in the West?
Well, who's that? No.
Kawhi.
Well, Kawhi's always hurt.
But Kawhi and Paul George missed
most of the season. Most of the season.
That's the Clippers go from a powerhouse to something less.
Lakers are banged up.
Lakers, same thing.
Dame Lillard's been banged up.
Golden State.
Golden State's been banged up.
Those are the powerhouses.
I mean, Miami has injuries. Boston had injuries.
But not like that, Jay.
Yeah, not like that.
They missed their best players in the West. Like, think of the best players in the West.
The best players in the West have been out, Jay.
That's really why I think the East might be better anyway, but it made it
a little
more lopsided.
A little bit.
I mean, Kawhi's been hurt for 2 years.
Yeah.
Is Kawhi going to play again?
Does he still play?
That's a legit question.
Know what's so hard about
this,
guys? When we talk about perception, it's a moving target we're trying to hit. So how we thought about Kawhi now that he missed another year, how we think about AD now that he's playing 35 games instead of 62 games a year, it's changing as we're talking about it, right? It's hard to hit a moving target. That's why we now perceive the West differently than the East.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keys Real Rankings brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call Dell Technologies Advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. Take it away, Key.
Yeah, my number real five. My real rankings is the most impactful losses this NFL offseason. That will also include front office people as well as coaches.
A lot of movement this offseason.
Number five.
Number five.
As you mentioned.
Get him, Yates. Talk about your button pressing, Yates.
Yeah, Key was very critical of Yates' button pressing in the commercial break. Key, I would lay off if I were you.
Yes, that is correct. Teron Armstead leaves the New Orleans Saints for the Miami Dolphins. They need to replace a big left tackle. That is a huge blow to New Orleans.
Hmm. Number four.
Number four, Super Bowl champion, two-time Super Bowl champion, that is, Von Miller leaves the Los Angeles Rams for a big payday to the Buffalo Bills to weaken the Rams' defense and strengthen the Buffalo Bills.
Number three.
This one here is head-scratching at the least. Tyreek Hill leaves the Kansas City Chiefs to the Miami Dolphins. You go from a Rolls-Royce G550 to a commercial prop plane in Miami.
See how Key knows all the names of all the different planes and stuff.
Nothing wrong with commercial flights.
I said prop plane.
Number 550, two. You know, the one with the cabin.
Stop.
With the bed in the back and the bar.
Number two.
Stop. Number two.
Number two.
Devontae Adams leaves the Green Bay Packers for the Las Vegas Raiders with his best friend, Derek Carr, and a big payday.
Were you done? Or
he threw Yates off.
Number one.
I know you were still
number
going.
Number one.
I wasn't sure.
No, I'm waiting for when I stop, it means he goes.
I know, but your tone was still going up.
Number one.
Number one.
All of them. The Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, leaves the Buffalo Bills for the New York football Giants.
Oh, I love it.
Leaves Josh Allen behind and inherits your favorite guy, Danny Dimes, in the New York Giants. So that's my top five. Teron Armstead, Von Miller, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, and the offensive coordinator turned head coach in Brian Daboll. This is about the offseason. Most impactful losses this offseason in the NFL.
Why is it that an offensive coordinator, now a head coach, but then an offensive coordinator, why is it that he is a bigger impact loss than an elite wideout or something like that, an elite pass rusher?
Well, I think you got to look at it this way, Max. When you're talking about an offensive coordinator who was the mastermind behind the Buffalo Bills offense and Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen and turning Josh Allen pretty much into a Pro Bowl potential Hall of Fame type quarterback in the future, when you lose that and you get a guy in there like Ken Dorsey, it's like we don't know what he is. I mean, I know offensive coordinators are so important to an offense and to a quarterback if they're good. If they're – now, preference, if. You know, guys
and
like Sean
– that good.
Sean Payton called plays for the New Orleans Saints. It's a big, big blow for them. You know, Brian Daboll, big blow for the Buffalo Bills.
Kimberly A. Martin joins us. Good morning, Kimberly. What do you think of Key's list?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm actually shocked. I'm actually shocked that a diva receiver wouldn't be more inclined to put losing Tyreek Hill or Devontae Adams at the top of his list. I'm actually shocked because, yes, we don't know what Ken Dorsey will be like in this role, but we know Josh Allen. I think if this were year one of Josh Allen, if this were year two, but I think we've seen the maturation of Josh Allen. We've seen this Buffalo Bills offense. It's not like they plucked Ken Dorsey from elsewhere, you know, and added him to the mix, and now they've got to sort of develop this chemistry and the synergy. I look at the reaction that we all had to when Schefter broke the news about the Tyreek Hill trade. We were like, what? We're like, what's going on? Who, like, the Kansas City Chiefs can't find a way to keep Tyreek Hill? Like, how is this? How, like, because you're not going to get another Tyreek Hill anywhere else. You are not going to be able to draft him. There's not some guy on your roster that's going to become Tyreek Hill this season. So, to me, I'm actually really surprised, Key. You knocked me back a little bit because you're not as predictable as I thought.
Yeah, Kimberly, I'm a little bit surprised, too, that you called him a diva receiver. Key, your response to that?
Kim, I can't. That's like my sister, man. I can't.
You can't.
I can't go
you
at
can't
her.
You can't go at her and say what you really want to.
I can't.
But now she's glowing. See, now it's this little extra. Nah, you can't. He ain't doing nothing.
No, but look, here's my.
He can't do nothing.
Kim, here's my thought about offensive coordinators and receivers, so to speak. Yes, we saw Josh Allen's ability under Brian Daboll. No question about it. You would think that everybody is still there. Everything is intact. But it's about the sequence of calling plays. It's about understanding the quarterback, the rhythm. It's about understanding when to call the right plays to help your quarterback out.
Right.
If you think about the history of the National Football League, which you know very well, think about some of the offensive coordinator, play-calling offensive coordinators, not some mysterious title guy who leaves, but I'm talking about who actually call the plays. When they leave those organizations, just take a look at what that organization and that offense looks like that year that coordinator left. Not very good for the most part. And so when I look at that, I'm saying to myself, this is a Buffalo team prized to make a strong run in the AFC. And if they don't get there, it's going to be because the offense has taken a step back.
Ooh, you heard it here, folks. You heard it here first, folks. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
And then when you say Davante Adams, for instance, as a receiver in Green Bay, it's a big blow to them, but Aaron Rodgers has played without Davante Adams before Davante Adams even became Davante Adams. He had other guys that he was throwing the football to, and he's 7-0 without Davante. So I'm not really worried about Aaron Rodgers and that offense losing Davante Adams because Aaron knows how to navigate around that.
Hold on, Kimberly. Hold on, Kimberly.
All right, talk to me about Tyreek.
Kimberly,
okay.
Hold on, because when I came on here the first date, I was talking with Key about this, and I used that quote that, he's 7-0 when he played. Key was like, be careful about that. That game could have been against lower bottom-tier teams. He broke the whole thing down, but now he's using it to his advantage in his argument. So all I'm saying, Kimberly.
I'm not.
Kimberly, all I'm saying is when you have a guy that is.
Listen to him. He's been drinking all night.
That's
true.
I'm not telling no lies. No lies being told.
Weren't you drinking with him at the Knicks game?
He was drinking right next to me. What is this man talking about?
Stop with chicken fingers and tequila, though. Yeah. What kind of a mixture is that?
He was having popcorn and butter and tequila. Same thing.
I had seltzer water with a lime.
Lies. Kimberly, all I'm saying is when you got a guy like 17 that is a big-time target, that when you need a big-time play, you know you can go to as your safety blanket, not having that in critical situations, that's a world of a difference.
So here you asked me about
– I agree with you.
You asked me about the Tyreek Hill situation. Again, who's still there? Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and Patrick Mahomes. There's no coordinators that left. They were good offensively prior to Tyreek Hill, at least Andy Reid was in his past. So when you look at it, you say, well, Tyreek Hill was so special. They're going to be able to design a different style of offense than what we're used to seeing.
It seems, Key, that you're really talking about when the basic architecture is still there. You can move around the furniture, right?
Absolutely.
So, okay, what about the Patriots without Josh McDaniels? That seems to be a kind of a Daboll situation, right? What about the Patriots without Josh McDaniels? Kimberly, Key?
Kim, I think the Patriots will be the Patriots because the guy with no sleeves is still on the sideline. He has his fingerprint on the offense and the defensive side of the ball.
Okay, so Patriots are good, losing their OC, but the Bills suddenly, this is the year the Bills can win, and now if they fall back, it's going to be because of the offense. Okay, this is why I actually don't think the Daboll move, I would move that to 2 or 3, in my opinion,
that's still high.
Because in New England, it's high. I'm not disagreeing with Key that it's a big move, but to me, like a Tyreek is a bigger difference. But in New England, I go back to what Key is saying about who's running the show. It's Belichick. Like, this is for the first time in 28 years, the Patriots have drafted a quarterback in the first round. I doubt that a Hall of Fame coach, the greatest coach of all time, would take that quarterback and knowingly stunt his growth by getting rid of the OC if he didn't have a plan in place as to how Daniel Jones, ooh, different Joneses, quarterback, yeah. How a Mac Jones could still flourish and grow and mature. So I think New England will be fine personally. That's why I'm also not as concerned about Josh Allen. Yes, my dear.
Kimberly, did he really have a choice? His OC wanted a head coaching job. Obviously, it's a promotion. What could Belichick really do, right?
It was the right job for Josh.
Right, okay, so but to that point then, mm-hmm. Key, if he's just going to lose his OC because, hey, look, there's a good head coaching job available. But it does seem inconsistent. Kimberly just pointed out in your stance
but
that
let me,
on the again.
Now I'm gonna get no. Go ahead, finish.
No, just on. Ooh. No. I'm good. On the one hand, it hits the Patriots. It hits the Bills, but not the Patriots.
You know why? Because Bill's done this before. Bill has lost Josh McDaniels before, mm-hmm. and guess what? The offense didn't miss a beat. And I know. And I know what y'all gonna say. Tom Brady was the quarterback. Doesn't matter. It didn't miss a beat.
Weren't those the dry years?
No, the offense, when Josh McDaniels left the following year, that offense finished, I believe, in the top six in the National Football League. And with no offensive coordinator, guess who was calling it? Bill Belichick was the offense and the defense coordinator. I know what you're going to say.
I'm just saying it's the greatest quarterback of all time.
I'm going to say
he's going to make up a huge difference. That's all.
But that offense ain't the same with Josh McDaniels as it was with Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels anyway, because it's Mac Jones. Like Kimberly said, they're not looking to do that. He still has training wheels on right now, no matter who the coordinator is.
I'm with you, and I buy your explanations on both. I'd be more worried about the Bills and the Patriots. I'd still have my eye on the Patriots, but I'd be more worried about the Bills.
They're not going to do anything, Kim. They're going to run the same little boring offense that they ran this past year. In 2010, I think it was, that they did that. In 2010, he called both offense and defense.
What about Aaron Rodgers without Devontae Adams?
Aaron Rodgers has played without Devontae Adams before. Yes,
such a small sample size.
No. Not just the 7-0. I'm talking about in his career. Before Devontae Adams even got there, he made other receivers better. So I'm not really worried about that. It's a blow because Devontae can go, but I'm not really overly worried
about
it.
What
about you, Kim? No, I don't feel as high on the Packers as I once did, and it feels blasphemous to say that because of 12. 12 is that guy that whoever's out there, he can win with. However, a couple games in a season or one game in a season is a little different than not having Devontae Adams there for an entire season. I understand you plug and play. That's what Rodgers is about, the Packers. Okay, we can take somebody and make him better because of Aaron. But part of why Devontae wanted out and wanted more money is because he understands that Aaron is that guy, but he also felt like, I'm a big part of this offense too. What Aaron's able to do is also contingent upon me running my routes, being a technician and being so precise and being able to catch these contested passes. So I don't know what the Packers will look like without Devontae. I'm so interested to see. I know they have 12, so that makes everything a little bit more palatable. But can the Packers come late December, January, can they beat some of these teams like the Rams or the Bucks? Something that they weren't able to do previously? I don't know.
Kimberly A. Martin, ladies and gentlemen. Great hearing from you as always, Kimberly.
All right, Sister Kimberly.
All right, Auntie. Don't be cooking no Paula Patrick chicken. Kimberly, you don't season in the grease.
Can you tell him, Kimberly, please?
Do not season the grease, y'all. Don't do it.
There it is. This is Keyshawn J. Willimax, presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Why one NFL analyst says while Brian Daboll may no longer be in Buffalo, the expectations remain that it is Super Bowl or bust. Key, do you agree? Hold on. Hold that thought. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Guys, Jay's feeling it. Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst, of course, was on NFL Live and had this to say. We were just talking about the Bills and Daboll and the effect that Daboll's leaving for the Giants head coaching position will have on the offense. Key thinks it's the number one loss of the entire offseason, including all players and everything, because, Key, according to you, and I'm buying what you're selling, in a top-notch offensive coordinator who's a play caller has an enormous effect on your team. And conversely,
not just a title guy.
Right. And a guy who's bad at that can really hurt your team. So the fact that you have an elite guy, I'm assuming that you think Daboll's elite in that way, big, big loss for the Bills. But listen to what Ryan Clark says the expectations are for the Bills.
This has to produce a championship. This has to be a connection that's able to win the AFC championship over the Kansas City Chiefs or over some of these teams that have now rebuilt and are full of power in the AFC.
Do the Bills have more pressure than any other team to get to the Super Bowl? Not win the Super Bowl, get to the Super Bowl, Key.
I think they do. I started thinking about this and batting it around. I'm looking at it in the NFL. I think when you start to look at the fact that they believe that they are one, maybe two players away from making that happen, an elite pass rusher, what did they do? They went out there and backed the Brinks truck up to go get Von Miller to – they already had a great defense. Now this defense is, I don't know, what's the next word outside of great? Whatever it is. Find one in your Columbia dictionary. But it's one of those
all-time
deals.
All-time great?
All-time great. There you go. But he brings something totally different to the equation for them. Then Stephon Diggs, we already know what Stephon is, one of the top, depending on who you're arguing with, one of the top five receivers in the league. They could shore up their running game and not make everything dependable on Josh Allen to run the ball. So we got all that going. But when you remove the offensive coordinator from the equation, it hurts. It hurts. And I understand people think that because Ken Dorsey's been in the building. You know how it is. You can do a whole lot of things till you try it. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, it's like, oh, man,
in theory,
you can do a lot of things till you try it. And so being under that microscope and that pressure, as you know, Jay, we talk about it all the time, you know, with Coach K and now all of a sudden John Shire, yeah. It's different.
Huge adjustment.
And so that's going to be a huge adjustment for Ken Dorsey as an offensive coordinator. Thinking, calling plays at the right time. Because you say to yourself, Brian Daboll will do this. And what happens, it affects the head coach. Because the head coach now has to manage this new coordinator when he didn't have to with the other guy because he didn't have to think twice on whether or not to go for it.
See, it's interesting because when you think about the Bills, with the way they had that shootout against the Kansas City Chiefs and the progression that you've seen this team go on, it feels like the next step is get to an AFC championship game, win a Super Bowl. Out of all the teams in the AFC, they seem like they have the most pressure on them, don't they?
They've gotten to the AFC championship game. This team has
to
get to the Super Bowl. If they don't get to the Super Bowl, there's going to be a lot of talk about Josh Allen not putting this team over the hump.
Exactly.
Outside of maybe the Packers, there is no team that has more pressure to get to the Super Bowl than the Bills.
I agree with that basic premise, but what if, let me give you a couple scenarios, and it could easily happen. They face either the Bengals or the Chiefs in the divisional round.
You love the Bengals.
And they win to get past the AFC defending champions or past the Chiefs into the AFC. Forget the Bengals. They get past the Chiefs to get into the AFC title game and then get knocked off by the Chargers.
Same thing, though.
To me, that's a step forward.
No, same thing.
That's the same thing. Because if you beat the demon.
Because you just... Like Evan said, you just were in the AFC Championship game. Your next step is the Super Bowl.
And you just paid all these guys.
You just were there. You cannot go here. You got to go there, Max.
Outside of the quarterback, which the Rams went and got Stafford. Outside of the quarterback, the Bills are as all in as the Rams were last year. They went and paid for Von Miller. They paid to keep Stephon Gilmore. Yep.
But wait, Evan.
They are the same team. There is just as much pressure on the Bills this year as there were on the Rams last year.
But factoring in what Key said about Brian Daboll, like how do you factor, like what's the adjustment period?
The Rams, the best pressure
is based on perception. So the point is here, one of the things that maybe increases the pressure on the Bills is not only do they now have to take a step forward, which means getting to the Super Bowl, but they're doing so under lesser conditions because they lost Dable, right?
The
perception is higher and the reality is lower. I think a lot of this, though, is the Von Miller signing. Like, Von Miller,
because Von is part of it.
He like, when you think about it, Super Bowl MVP, and he was a huge part of their pass rush on the way to the Super Bowl with the next team.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're signing a pumped up Robert Horry or some dude who, like, when you see him, well, because I would say Von Miller has been a better pass rusher than Horry was a forward. But like, this is a championship player.
This is what Evan was just saying.
Hold on. The Rams had the best defense in football. Sorry, Key. The Rams had the best defense in football 2 years ago, and they lost their defensive coordinator, and the pressure on them to win the Super Bowl did not change.
Defensive coordinator.
But it doesn't matter.
When you lose your DC. When you lose your DC, it's different than losing your offensive coordinator.
That's what I'm saying. So it does
lose defensive coordinators all the time, and the defense still.
Why?
Because the defense is just different. It's three coverages, a couple pass rush schemes, and that's pretty much.
How about in-game adjustments, though?
So doesn't losing Brian Daboll put more pressure on Josh
Allen?
Yes,
absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
That if the Buffalo Bills don't get to the Super Bowl. This season for them is a complete failure.
I think it puts less pressure on him. How do you not factor in, Key, when you have a new coach, the time it takes to get acclimated to the calls? As athletes, that's a real thing.
You do factor that into it. But the fact of the matter is, you went out and you got Matthew Stafford and Von Miller. You paid Stephon Gilmore and Jalen Ramsey. Okay, you just paid Cooper Kupp in Stephon Diggs. And you also got Matthew Stafford in Josh Allen that you paid. So you look at all of those key pieces and components that the Buffalo Bills have that the Rams had. The Rams had all the pressure in the world with the top defense.
But I'm with Jay here. I disagree. I agree. The Bills are facing the most pressure in the AFC to make the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
I don't think it's quite what the Rams were facing last year because the head coach and his whole system, he identified a quarterback of another team and shipped out a number one overall draft pick and two firsts and everything.
Yeah.
So, like, and it was also an older guy who had a lot to prove because of Detroit. Mm-hmm. So, like, to me, there was more pressure on the Rams last year than there is on the Bills this year.
Coach Sean McDermott is still there in Buffalo. He didn't leave, right? They were in the AFC Championship game. The Rams were not in the AFC Championship game prior to acquiring.
I don't know if you've considered this, though. Dable's not there anymore. And, Key, let me explain something to you.
Break it down for him. But when you look at it, you made me lose my thought.
We gotta go to break anyway. Well, they'll come back
after
break.
McDermott, wait a minute, McDermott.
You made me lose my
thought. I'm sorry. Now I feel bad.
That's what he does. It gets you talking in circles.
I'm going to try to be a little nicer to Michael Collins today, everybody. I'm going to try.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike
today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Would you not say Tiger Woods is not elite athlete?
No, I would not say that.
No, I would
you
say
you would not
I
say Tiger Woods is an elite athlete.
No, I would that's say I, no, I would say Tiger's
get
an elite
out of here,
Tiger
man.
Is.
Get
that
out
may be okay,
here,
Keith,
Max.
He may be. I don't think you can demonstrate that just by playing golf. I don't know how fast he runs, how high he jumps, all
that
kind of
stuff. Do anything about him being an elite athlete.
He's got some athletic traits in him.
Come on, man.
Max, that's a horrific take.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard you say.
Dudes wearing makeup are not going to tell me that golfers aren't athletes.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Pearls before swine. Michael Collins, ESPN golf analyst, is with us again. So nice of you to come back yesterday after your today after your treatment yesterday, Michael. Thank you for that. So, Michael, what's it like around Augusta right now? As Tiger gets ready to tee off, and how many hours now is it going to be? About 3 hours.
Yeah, well, they pushed tee times back 30 minutes, and right now Augusta is at best soggy, at worst just soaked, and it is going to be a little bit of a slog. The three honorary starters are warming up now. They just had them on the screen we were watching, and you just don't like to see guys like Gary Player, Tom Watson, and Jack Nicklaus under umbrellas warming up to hit the honorary starting shot here at Augusta, but it is what it is. We've had almost 2 inches of rain since Monday. I know on the weather app it had us at about an inch and a half of rain in the last 8 hours. There was a huge storm that came in late last night, and so looking forward for these guys to be out there. But I will say this, the three holes that have had some changes to them and the course has been lengthened, it's going to play at its full length today. I guess the good news for the players is, even though they're going to be coming into these greens with longer irons, the greens are not going to be as firm and as fast as Augusta National normally likes to have them.
My brother Michael, I know that every time it rains and it's slightly chilly, the aches I have in my leg are exponentially more when I walk long distances. So when I look at the weather forecast for Friday, high of 68, low of 45. Saturday, high of 60, low of 40. Sunday, low of 37. How could this factor into Tiger Woods walking these courses, taking these shots with these different trajectories?
Yeah, Jay, man, that's the thing. Tiger talked about it before the car accident and before this horrific injury to his leg. That temperature really is a factor, a huge factor in how his back reacts. Now, everyone focused on the car accident and the leg and him being able to walk again. But, oh, yeah, we kind of forgot this guy still had 5 back surgeries, so it was one thing that this course is going to be long and wet, because that's just really hard. It's like, think about walking in wet sand for everybody who has never been on a golf course before. If you've been to the beach after it rains and you try and walk through wet sand, and you're like, man, why are my legs burning? Like, they didn't burn yesterday when we came to the beach and it was sunny. Well, that's what it's like walking a golf course. And now the recovery time for Tiger is going to be even longer. Now, you throw into that really cold temperatures, and now the back becomes a factor. So It feels almost like Mother Nature is teasing us just a little bit. Like, hey, we got Tiger back. But then, hey, Mother Nature, you might have him back, but I'll be the deciding factor on just how well he plays.
Mike, you and Jay talked about the weather, Tiger's aching bones if the weather is cold and all those sort of things. So why does Tiger believe and feel like a matter of fact that he can win this thing? And is that realistic? Like, is it a realistic Tiger being Tiger?
That's definitely Tiger being Tiger, Key, big time. I mean, that was the one thing that we joked about the other day, in when people say, what do you think is a realistic expectation for Tiger Woods? And I said, well, if you're asking Tiger, he's going to be like, I'm not here if I can't win. I'm not going to even tee it up if I can't win. But this is the thing we have to remember too. Back when he played the father-son in November, Matt Kuchar was out with him and said his ball striking is good enough to win on tour right now. And it's only about stamina and his body. And I can tell you this, with the way that Tiger Woods practiced, he played 3 9-hole practice sessions, and then if you go back to last week on Tuesday, he played another 9 holes, or he played 18 holes and then the par 3 contest. There's nothing wrong with the way Tiger's hitting the ball. He's hitting the ball fantastic. So if his short game is on point and his putting is good, there's no reason that Tiger couldn't contend. But then it all comes down to stamina. Because once you get really exhausted, and you know this, you know, when you're on the football field and they're calling plays, it's a lot different in the first quarter than the fourth quarter when you're exhausted. You know, when you get real tired, you start making mental mistakes. And it's the same on the golf course.
Mm-hmm. Michael, but you talking to Michael Collins, ESPN NFL golf analyst, Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio. For all the hand-wringing about Tiger and the armchair psychology when he had hit dry spells in the past, right? Didn't it really just come down to he had herniated discs? Right? He could, like, he was physically not the same, right? And then we tried to describe right. it to all, you know, oh, no, it's because he doesn't feel this way. He's lost his confidence. He just physically wasn't the same. For him to feel physically confident enough to play right now, wouldn't you think he's taking these factors that you're discussing into consideration and he himself believes he will be able to handle that?
Well, let's be honest and go back with what the first thing that you said. Mm-hmm. We're back in the day when we were thinking that something was wrong with his game and that he mentally wasn't there. That's also because every time we would ask Tiger, hey, you look like you're walking a little gingerly. Is everything okay? I'm fine. I'm good. So
mind over matter.
Like he yeah. thought he was a he thought he was a football player and was like, if I don't say I'm injured, I'm not injured. Well, you ain't walking like you're not injured. And that injury kind of is going into the game. So, yes, he is the mentally most toughest golfer that there is on the PGA Tour and has been for a long, long time. But at his age right now, that mind over matter thing doesn't really work. But if he's here and he's teeing it up, he thinks that he can do it. And I ain't betting against him.
Give me your prediction, Mike. Who wins this thing?
I ain't saying he's going to win, though. I ain't saying he's going to win.
Who's going to win then?
I'm saying he's going to make it.
Who's going to win?
It'll be a playoff between Brooks Koepka and Cameron Smith. Them two are going to play off.
There it is. Michael Collins, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
thank
but
you,
who
Michael.
Wins, though?
All right, MC.
Who wins?
Give me
who
a
wins?
Winner. Just,
I know I'm the odds. The odds are against any one single player winning, right? But someone's got to win. Who's it going to be?
So if the weather acts like it's supposed to act and follows the forecast, yeah. Cameron Smith becomes the first player to win the Players' Championship and the Masters in the same year. Wow. That's if the weather holds. Now, if the weather doesn't hold, then Brooks Koepka wins on Sunday afternoon.
Thank you, Michael Collins. He's the host of America's Caddy on ESPN+. Much more on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming up in a matter of moments. Stay tuned.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.